It's really good to see everyone here today. I hope you've had a good week. If you're new to Windsong, welcome. We're glad you're here. We want you to know that we exist to serve God and to serve and love one another in doing so. If you have any questions about who we are, what we do, why we do it, my door is open. Please call the church office. I'll be happy to visit with you. We are in the middle of a series of lessons. Well, actually, we're kind of towards the end of it, entitled, How Do You Know You're a Christian from the Letter of 1 John? We're in 1 John chapter 5 today, and we're going to be looking at faith is the victory in our lesson. Maybe it's just been more recently noted in the paper and on the television, but life can be tough on folks. Be very difficult for us dealing with very basic things these days. We have people who are losing jobs, people who are unemployed, and those who are underemployed, those who have education and training in an area in which they can't find a job, and so they've taken other employment that really doesn't fulfill where they are in life. And there are some of you right now that I know are having a rough go of it. It's simply easy in an economy like this, in a time like this, to become discouraged when you can feel powerless to deal with your situation. So what do you do, and where do you go whenever it feels like the world is winning? As a child of God, what do you do whenever it feels like Satan seems to have the upper hand? Well, as John is bringing his letter to a close, he's talking to some brothers and sisters who may feel like the world is winning and Satan has the upper hand because some of their very number have fallen away and had begun believing a heresy. Some of those had actually been trying to pull others away and to bring them with them. And they're living in uncertain times, to say the least. They're dealing with a difficult situation in their social and political world. And in the middle of that kind of environment, John is working to encourage them. And he tells them that faith is the victory that you have, and you need to hold on to that. If you would please stand for the reading of the Word of God. 1 John 5, 1 through 5. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the parent loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. This is love for God, to obey his commands. And his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Thank you. Be seated. In these verses, John wants his audience, those to whom he is writing, to experience victory, to experience joy and victory and know that they have it. And he tells them, here are some ways that you can do that. First of all, he says you can experience the victory by believing in Jesus. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ. In this letter, we've been looking at how John has, over the past few weeks, been really dealing with the subject of love and loving one another and love for God. He spent a lot of time on that. At this point in the letter, his focus and his attention shifts from love to faith. Love is still included in it, but he wants to talk about belief and faith. And he's going to spend some time telling us, you first of all need to focus on your faith. And he says three things about this here. He says, first, we need to know how to believe. He says, for everyone who believes. That word, believes, is in the present tense. It's continuous action, uninterrupted action. He says, everyone who constantly believes, everyone who continually believes, everyone who perpetually, without interruption, believes. It's the same tense that he used whenever he was talking about walking in the light. If we walk in the light, the blood of Jesus cleanses us continually from our sins. And he says, when you believe continually, he's speaking to people and he wants them to don't lose heart. Don't allow your faith to become interrupted. Don't let it be sporadic. Instead, let it be perpetual and continual. Everyone who believes, we're to know who to believe, in Jesus. The idea that John is conveying is that he wants his audience to believe in the Lord. Don't put your trust in John. Don't put your trust in Paul or Peter or James or these other teachers, or these people who have fallen away, or anyone else. Put your faith and your trust in Jesus. And then he says what to believe about him. Is the Christ. Believe that Jesus is the Christ. He says he has been born of God. I want to share with you just briefly what John has said about Jesus in this letter thus far. He begins and he says that he was the Word of life, focusing on his eternality. Then he says he is our advocate in chapter 2. He is the one who petitions the Father on behalf of us. Then he says that he has come in the flesh. The one who was eternal and the one who is our advocate has become human. He's become like us. He walked the earth like us. Then he says he is our atonement. He provided the penalty for our sins. Then he says he is the Son, the one who came from the Father. And then he is the Savior of the world. And so when he says everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and we're going to talk about that phrase born of God here in a moment, he says, this is what you need to focus on, having a perpetual and continual trust and faith in Jesus as the one God-man. I can't think of a time in the history of our nation when more people were skeptical about the identity of Jesus. When more people were wondering, or if they weren't wondering, they've simply accepted what those who want to say Jesus was only a prophet, a great teacher, a good man, or a good moral philosopher. John says, here's where your faith needs to lie. In Jesus, the one who is from God, who is God. You can only experience the victory that he's talking about here by having this faith, by believing in Jesus and trusting in him. Then he says, we can experience the victory by loving others. He says, is born of God, and everyone who loves the parent loves the child as well. And I wish I had put is born of God on this slide as well, in front of that, but I didn't. John, in 1 John, belief and love are inseparable. He says, if you believe in God, it's going to be evident by your love. And your love is evident by your belief. And he's going to see that these things are linked, and he communicates that to us. Everyone who has been born of God, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the parent loves the child. I want to stop just a moment and talk about that phrase, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Because you could easily misunderstand what John is saying. Whenever John says that, we've got to understand, first of all, the audience to whom John is writing. John isn't writing to people trying to tell them, here's how you become a Christian. He's not saying, here's how you become a child of God. All you've got to do is believe. All you've got to do is put your faith or trust in Him. He's writing to people who are already Christians. He's writing to brothers and sisters. He's not telling them how to become Christians. He's telling them that they need to maintain their faith as Christians. So when he's saying that everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, he's not saying, well, all that's required is for you to believe. He's not saying that. He's saying you've got to put your faith and trust in Jesus as children of God, because that's what you are. And he says, and everyone who loves the parent loves the child as well. Three times in this text, John is going to be talking about born of God. Born of God. And then he uses this illustration, everyone who loves the parent loves his child as well. It's like he's taking a parallel from our physical life and applying it and making spiritual application, applying it to our spiritual life. Everyone who loves the parent loves his child as well. Let me put it to you this way. I hear it from many of you regularly, and I see it from all of you. You may say, you love me. And I hear you say that. I see it, and I hear it, and I appreciate it. But if you said, you know, Bobby, I love you, but I hate your kids. I can't stand Rachel or Rebecca or Hannah and that Braylon. Give me a break. To say that you love me and to hate my children is not possible. You can't say you love me and hate them, because you can't love me and hate them. It can't be done. Everyone who loves the parent loves his child as well. John is saying that if you say you love God, you've got to love his children as well. And that's one reason why he has said over and over again in this letter, if you love one another, that shows your love for God. It's clear. You demonstrate your love for God. One way that you do that, he has told us thus point, to this point in this letter, is that you love each other. Love is the ultimate litmus test. You don't get to say, I love God. Do you know what? I can't stand those Christians. I love God, but I hate organized religion. Organized religion is the church. And the organization that was put there was by Christ. If you love God, you love God's children. So you experience this victory not only by putting your faith in Christ, but you experience the victory that John is talking about by loving others. By showing that, like he has said in this letter and previous sections, not only by word, but by your deeds, how you behave, what you say and what you do is a visible demonstration of your love for one another. That's how you experience the victory. Then he says, you experience the victory by obeying God. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out His commands. This is love for God, to obey His commands. And His commands are not burdensome. This phrase translated, loving God and carrying out His commands, it occurs there and only there in that way in the entire New Testament. It is unique here. One translator says, we carry out His orders. That's a better rendering of it. We know that we love God and the children of God by loving God and carrying out His orders. It's a unique phraseology in all of the New Testament. So what is John saying? He's saying that we know that we love God by loving the children of God. And we know that we love God by carrying out His orders, by doing what God wants us to do. That's how we know it. Remember this letter, a great deal of it is, how do you know? How do you know you're a Christian? How do you know you're saved? And John is saying, I'm writing this so that you will know you're saved. How do you know all these things? Well, you know it. He says, here's why you know it. You love God by loving God's children. You love God by obeying His commands. And His commands are not burdensome. Just to make sure the audience gets it, he says, look, God's commands aren't oppressive. They aren't severe, they aren't heavy, they aren't difficult to fulfill. God does not demand the impossible from you. God does not expect you to do what you are not capable of doing. Instead, He commands us these things as a loving parent. A parent who knows what's best for us, and the purpose for His commands are to guide us and to take us in the direction that is for our best interests. The longer you are in the church, I suspect the more you realize God has outlined these things as His requirements of us, not because He wants to make our life more difficult or because He wants to make our life miserable. But He commands these things of us because He loves us and He wants to protect us. Because He wants what is best for us. When you think about it, it's the world that tries to make God's commands burdensome. The world tries to, why would you think that? Why would you want to do that? Why would your God want you to act like that? Why would your God say that? Well, there are reasons behind it. Because He loves us and He wants what's best for us. This past September, I got to attend the Harding Lectureship. Our own brother, Dr. Everett Ferguson, said about this, keeping commands is not legalism. We demonstrate our love for God by obeying God. If you love someone, you will want to please them. That's what John is saying. If we love God, we're going to want to please Him. And what He expects of us isn't a burden. It's not too heavy. We experience victory by obeying God. And then he says, we can experience victory by overcoming the world. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Because we believe in Jesus, we are children of God. Because our love for our brothers and sisters is evidenced by our actions. Because our love for God is demonstrated by our obedience, he says, we have victory that overcomes the world. Everyone born of God overcomes the world. And I want you to notice this. He does not say, everyone born of God will overcome the world. He does not say, everyone born of God shall overcome the world. He doesn't say that we will someday overcome the world or we can overcome the world. He doesn't say that anywhere here. Instead, this is a good translation, has overcome. This is something you are currently and can currently experience because of your faith. You can, should be experiencing now, overcoming the world. It's our faith that causes this new birth. It's our faith that makes this victory possible. It's our faith that prompts our love for our brothers and sisters. It's our faith that causes our obedience to God. It's our faith that is central to everything, and it is our faith that is this victory. You remember what Jesus said? In this world, you will have trouble. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Not only that, we have too. Have you experienced the victory? Do you feel like an overcomer? Are you mired in the difficulties of life and you just haven't really seen that God has made you someone as His child who has overcome? Sometimes we just need to step back, look at our lives, and look at what God has done and continues to do. He's provided the victory. We just need to grasp it. If you're not a Christian, if you haven't been born of the water and the Spirit, if you haven't been immersed in Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, today you can have the victory that overcomes the world. If you need anything, everything is ready. Come now as we stand and sing.